Welcome to the I Am Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper, Matt Morris, Tara Reed says, good night, everyone. I'm going to bed. And my amazing followers in all other countries, good morning. Have a wonderful day. XOXO. You know what the weird thing about this tweet is? 5 people retweeted it. 43 people favorited it.
They just want to remember it.
That's a weird ratio.
You know, when they need to pick me up, they're going to remember the love that Tara sends. And it's amazing because she's both saying good night and good morning. How amazing is that?
Yeah, it's like the whole aloha thing. Like, you can say hello and goodbye with it. I feel like I'd like to think at least 30 of those favorites are people that listen to our podcast. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping it's that kind of ratio.
I love how half the people are like, this is awesome, continue doing it, it is amazing. And half the people are like, why do you do this? It's the dumbest thing ever. Stop. I love your podcast. Please quit talking about Tara Reed.
Before we get into what we want to talk about, do you know how people turn into serial killers?
How?
By not being able to type an O on your computer. My O key is dead. Like, it barely works. I have to mash it down for it to work sometimes. And that's a really hard thing to adjust to. I'm not a good enough or smart enough person. I'm not a good enough writer or smart enough person to just avoid words with the letter O. So I'm pretty sure if it doesn't get fixed in the next couple of days, I'm gonna murder somebody. Not somebody, a lot of people.
Later at the trial.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have recorded that. Remind me to edit out my threats.
This piece of evidence we're not even going to pull from a private file. We're just streaming it off the internet where he said it publicly. Do you get angry when the O doesn't work?
I do. It's especially like I was trying to tweet at the game last night. So I'm like way behind on tweets because I'm tweeting like 3 plays after something happened because I'm just like mashing the O the entire time.
Do you make a face when this happens?
I guess so.
So you could say that that's your O face.
I could say you're the first person I'm going to murder. I'll let that evidence get out there. I'm fine with it.
It's fine. I'll live with it.
I'll wear that one. That one's on me.
So I imagine it's frustrating, as it must be frustrating to be a member of the New York Knickerbockers.
Man, I don't even feel like piling on. They're just in a bad place.
Our editor, who typically is like, no one cares about the Bucks, no one cares about these other teams, people care about like these 5 players or whatever, even he's like, I think we've probably buried the Knicks enough for a while.
Yeah, I think we're at the point where most NBA editors are like, guys, lay off. It's enough.
It's they're already dead.
I mean, Kenyon Martin played 38 minutes. That's not good for anybody.
And he was terrible, by the way.
Because he sucks. This is the thing. Someone argued with me the other night. They're like, well, he's still really good on defense, so that's why he still plays in 2030. I was like, no, he's not. James Dolan was the only one that knocked on his door. His agent called the Timberwolves, either this offseason or the previous one, like begging for a chance at a job.
Like that's fine. We got Robbie Hummel. We're good.
Thanks. Yeah, we're good. Robbie Hummel's a good little player.
He is. He tries really hard.
I said this on the radio yesterday in Minnesota. They were like, you know, Robbie's playing and Derek Williams isn't. I was like, if you strip away their draft status and you just watch the two play, who looks like they're a better basketball player right now?
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of sucks, but that's the truth. Anyway, back to the Knicks.
You know, we talk about those games that are – you get like 5 or 6 games a year that are just fluke games that they go either way. Yep. This was one where this is honestly one as much as like I can point to things and go, well, this was bad. They're gonna win that game 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, for sure.
Shumpert's not gonna foul.
Yeah.
Once you start getting into this, I'm gonna just foul when he catches the ball. Just foul him.
There does seem to be just that fear of, well, what if he puts up the shot quickly? And it's like, well, then you live with it. I feel like.
Yeah.
If the refs are going to give him that, then I think you kind of
tried defending it and you gave it up anyway.
Right, exactly. So I would just be more
like, well, we don't want to foul. Like, you want to just let him shoot?
Right. I'm just
seems problematic as well.
I'd say you'd just be more aggressive with it, you know.
I just you know, I don't see any reason not to just go ahead and foul him and take two free throws. And, you know, and part of it also is, you know, if you foul him as soon as he catches it and you hug him. Because yeah. part of it is yeah, you're not yeah, running yeah. him off of a cut. Like, he catches it. And I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? I don't know. I can't really understand that one. But, again, there are so many situations in which they don't lose that lead. Now, I will say also, there's a part of me that's kind of like, well, you're also probably not going to get Beno Udrih hitting sideways, fall away, three bounce, and ones.
That's a shot. That's what he's known for.
That's his wheelhouse.
That's his signature move on 2K. I don't. That seems normal to me.
You talk about Kmart. He had one of the laziest transition fouls I've ever seen. It was a hard foul.
He does like, that. He really does. Like, he has these lazy hard fouls that are kind of, I don't know, they're just dangerous, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I was thinking about this. I was like, is he going to be one of the first players in NBA history? Like, I'm sure there have been others, but to get a flagrant foul by not trying? Like, it's just ridiculous. And then the problem, I think, with them is that you can say that it was a fluke that they got to overtime, but they still had a chance to win, and then their pick-and-roll defense just went to pieces. Yeah.
This is what I was thinking about the game. Is it possible that it was a really good game for the Knicks and a bad loss at the same time?
Yeah,
that's
a really good way to describe it.
Because that was a really good game for them. I mean, they close out that win. They don't foul. He doesn't hit a three. Or they don't get the 3 points on that play. Like, that's a win where you're like, wow, the Knicks, you know, yeah, they're at home, but they beat a really great Pacers team. Like, that's a good win for him. That gets them going. And it was a great game up until that moment, and then they fell apart in overtime, which is understandable because I feel like the more possessions you get against this Pacers team, especially if you're the Knicks, as banged up as you are, you know, the more possessions, the more likely you are to break. And they just broke. And I think that it's a bad loss because they had it secured, but it was a great game for them.
Yeah, I think it's – mostly it's they need something to turn around this season, and mm-hmm. that was an opportunity to turn it around, and then it fell through their fingers again.
Yeah, I love the way Melo played. Like, I know he didn't shoot well, but I love the way he played.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints about him.
Yeah, he really is playing so well this year, whether it works or not. Like, the decision-making, I love.
Like, they even had, like, a final possession for him, and instead of him just taking the jab-step jumper, he drove, spun, and put up, like, a runner. Like, it was a jump shot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just an ISO straight up.
Right.
That was again, I don't have any problem with that. We've talked about this before on the podcast. I just want to bounce it off of you again. I'm having this big conversation with Jim. I don't know if it's Kevin or Cavan.
I think it's Cavan. Jim Cavan.
Cavan from KnickerVlogger.net, who's a fantastic writer.
He's really good.
Really upset at the way Knicks games are officiated. It's
yeah, I don't buy the officiating angle. I do want to say, like, if you can search it out, I don't remember the title of it, but Jim wrote a fantastic long form piece about Detroit on SB Nation. Yeah, everyone should go read that. It's, I mean, take like 15, 20 minutes out of your day, really digest it. Like, it's just beautifully written.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. It's, I mean, people talk about the Melo offensive foul. They're really upset about that one. They're basically saying Shumpert grazes elbow and Paul George gets the call, and then Melo, you know, drives and gets contact and doesn't get it. And I'm like, he lowers his shoulder.
Yeah, it's two different plays, and you can't lower your shoulder. It's very rare guys get away with that. Sometimes it's a no call, but you just can't do that. And Melo knows he can't do that. You know, yeah. Sometimes it's hard. You get caught up in the moment. You're trying to draw a foul or whatever he's trying to do there. But you just, like, every time there's, like, this seemingly out-of-control player that gets contact, you know, the fans of that player are like, well, he got hit. And it's like, no, he lowered his shoulder. You can't dip that shoulder at all. If that shoulder stays upright and they make the same contact, that's going to be a foul. That's going to be a foul in his favor. But you can't do that.
I mean, like, I'll admit, like, I don't like that call. I don't, not that call. I don't like that rule.
Yeah. But I think it's pretty consistently called, though.
It is consistently called. Like, it drives me nuts every time. I'm like, come on, he's just trying to get to the rim. But yeah. Then I'm like, he calls it every time. Like,
yeah, and I'm sure there are plenty of instances where it's called a different way, but I feel like it's consistent.
I'm trying to find it and coming up short, but basically there's only been two teams that have made the playoffs after starting off at the record at home that the Knicks have. The Knicks didn't win a home game in November.
That's unusual. How did they not do that? Oh, yeah, they lost to the Wolves. They lost to the Bobcats, the Spurs, Rockets, Hawks, Pacers. That's a tough road schedule, or a tough home schedule. I mean, they should have probably beaten the Wolves and the Bobcats, but
if you're gonna have tough games, don't you want them at home?
Well, certainly. Now they go on the road for four, and I mean, they should win in Washington, right? Maybe Washington's been awoken, but I feel like you got to go 2-1-2 on that trip. They're at Washington, at Portland, at the Clippers, at Denver, but. I don't like even if they win in Washington. I don't know where that second win's coming from.
Part of me is, I feel like everyone's kind of talking about the same thing, which is everyone's kind of like, well, Mike Woodson's probably getting fired. He probably doesn't deserve to be, but he's. And then like it's an amazing kind of situation where everyone's like, well, it's probably not his fault, but no, seriously, he's gonna get fired. And the problem is, I don't know who you go get.
George Karl. We talked about not this. Gonna work. I know, but I want that. Stan Van. Would he take over midseason? I don't think he'd take over midseason.
No, he wouldn't. I don't think he'd take over. Anyway, I don't think he'd take over this team either.
I mean, we're talking about James Dolan here, so what about Vinny Del Negro?
Oh, please.
I don't even like trolling Knicks fans, but I just want to see Vinny back on the sidelines.
That's my second favorite option for who to take over as coach.
Rasheed Wallace?
Isaiah.
Oh, yeah, you're big on this Isaiah thing.
GM coach combo, it's time. You know, Jimmy went with all the other options that people said would be good and that didn't work out. Yeah. You know, so it's just time for Jimmy to trust his gut and go with his friend Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
My favorite day on the internet. I would save everything I read that day.
You know, it's like there's like the wig out for Wiggins, there's like have a scandal for Randall and all that. Do you think the Knicks are doing like be a freak for Zeke, or are they tanking to get Zeke back in the fold?
We gotta make it so bad that nobody can blame us for bringing in Zeke.
J.R. Smith said he's kind of panicking.
Does that mean that he's just like involuntarily goes into shooting motions, like when he's walking down the street?
Just to build confidence, like he holds the door for someone and does like a 3-point celebration.
He keeps throwing his credit card when he tries to pay for things. Throws it into the cashier's face. He like drops to the ground and does his 3-point celebration. They're like, sir. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. We lost to the Pacers and the Bobcats.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
What point do they get back to 500? Are they back to 500? They actually have – they don't have that tough of a schedule – in December? Do you think they can be 500 or better by January?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing is like...
I guess it depends it depends when Chandler gets back, right? And when Felton's okay?
I have this... this bothers me, and this happened with the Lakers last year, where everyone starts talking about the injury, and I'm like, they were bad before.
No, but come on, you know that. That they have to, like, a team like that with no depth at that position has
to. It'll help.
It has to. And yeah, they were bad before, but you have to get that continuity together.
Here's the kind of thing is I don't subscribe to the idea of, come on, like, it's early, no reason to worry. I'm always like, no, there's always reason to worry. I have anxiety issues. There's always reason to worry. But instead, my thing is, they could very well be – this could be the start of like an absolute disastrous year for the Knicks, and this could be like the year everything just blows up and everything is horrible.
Yeah.
Or they could go on a seven-game winning streak starting next game and be totally fine heading into January.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You need a seven-game win streak, and you're at, what, 10-8?
Right.
They'd be fine. You know, two games over 500 is fine.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I've been, just for like the past couple weeks, I've been having a love affair with this amazing mango juice I'm just chugging left and right. Just an absolute torrid love affair.
What is it? What kind?
It's from Bolt House Farms. You can pick it up. I mean, you can pick it up at any grocery store. It's just fantastic. It's nearly four mangoes per bottle.
Wow. That's a lot of mango.
It is a lot of mango. I love mango. It's my favorite fruit.
The Mango Mania from Naked is like my favorite smoothie.
Ooh, that's excellent. Yeah.
It's really good. And also, there's a soy milk peach combo. Peach mango combo.
Okay.
That's just absolutely, it's just like a fantastically delicious thing.
It says feel good about what's in this bottle. There are 3 3/4 mangoes. I'm wondering why they couldn't fit a fourth in there. There's one banana, there's 3 1/2 oranges, and there's 6 1/2 apples. I'm getting 8 servings of fruit per bottle, and I'm drinking a bottle at a time. So I'm just a torrid love affair.
And this isn't sponsored, by the way. You just love it.
No, I just love it. They did follow me on Twitter because I was tweeting about how much I love them.
Yeah, they're going to regret that.
I'm pretty sure I'm unfollowed already.
Okay, so I'm ready to join you on the Philadelphia's done.
Yeah, they suck. Which is what they're supposed to do. That's not me being mean or anything. Like, and some Sixers fans are like, why do you hate the team? I'm like, I'm not. I want you guys to suck so you can get the player you want to get to rebuild.
Right.
They're not good.
Getting blown out by Toronto, I was like, okay, yeah, whatever momentum they had there is gone. It's done. DeMar DeRozan's having himself a season.
He is. He's hitting shots, which is a new thing. Well, no, he's still shooting 41% on the year.
What's the three-point percentage?
That's the key. He's taken a couple, which is more than what he used to take. Your Toronto Raptors at 5-7 are leading the Atlantic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
DeMar's shooting 38% from three. He's taken 3.5 a game. That's a big improvement for him.
So the big thing that you and I talked about is that, like, that changes the whole dynamic.
That changes his dynamic completely. I'm in on DeMar DeRozan if he can shoot threes at a 35% clip or better, and he's taken a couple of game.
Yeah,
it's a perfect complement to his game.
Now I still hate him and Rudy Gay on the floor together. But
I gotta see what that is together. What do they look like?
I looked at the mid-range shots. So many. They don't hit almost any of them. Charlotte knocks off Brooklyn.
Yeah, those November Bobcats.
It's funny because Charlotte keeps knocking off these teams, and people keep saying, like, oh, you know, this team is bad. They lost to Charlotte. And I keep being like, well, okay, if Charlotte keeps beating all these teams, at some point it may not be the worst thing in the world.
No, they're not good, Matt.
Why?
Why? Mostly their roster.
Kemba's good. Jeff Adrian is playing out of his mind. That probably won't sustain, but it's been pretty good. Gerald Henderson's been a freak.
Yeah.
He's playing exceptionally well. Like, he's making the leap. Like, it's been really awesome to see. Jeff Taylor? This roster has guys you like.
They do. They're not good yet. They're going to be good. It's just not yet.
I don't think they're good. I don't think they're good. I think they're decent.
Yeah, they're decent. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying they're gonna win, make the playoffs. I'm saying like 35 wins.
By the way, the Rudy Gay DeMar DeRozan pairing is -2.2 on a net rating. That's actually not terrible. I mean, you'd like it to be positive.
No, it hasn't been bad.
The true shooting percentage is under 50%, though.
I mean, the key with them is they're not bad. They're just not good either.
Right.
That's the Toronto Raptors. And it's like Charlotte. They're not bad. They're just not good either.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, God, Deron Williams goes down again. Comes back 5 days after an ankle injury. Was it the same ankle?
Yep.
Do we know? Jesus.
Ankles, man.
They're the worst.
Knees may be the worst, but ankles are not far behind.
I feel like knees are easier to fix.
And once they're fixed, they're fixed.
Right. Ankles, I mean, all right, I have a... Well, I'm also not an NBA player. I don't know if you knew that, but I've had a bad knee for, you know, the majority of my life now, since I was 14, and it still gives me problems here and there. But I also, like, you know, I rehab, but I've never, like, trained as a professional athlete. So, you know, you're gonna have problems continue at certain points when you're not keeping that up. But I messed up my ankle 4 or 5 years ago. And it has not been the same since. And it's never gotten better. It's just become adequate. And I really do think ankles are tougher to fix than a knee.
Bismack Biyombo dunked on Kevin Garnett.
No, that didn't happen. Kevin's been dead for 2 years now. I don't know how you can say. God, Paul Pierce.
Jason Kidd's getting a lot of heat right now, and I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, because there was, I don't even remember Frank Isola's article or something like that about the scout saying he's not running anything, and people took that and they ran with it.
It was Beck.
Was it Beck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was Beck.
It was Howard. It was Howie.
Yeah, and people have run with that. And, I mean, I don't remember hearing a whole lot about, like, oh, the coaching hasn't been great. It's just been a lot of, oh, they're injured, they need to gel, blah, 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 they're old, it'll take a little bit to get going. But since that quote from that anonymous, I think it was a scout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's getting hammered. And, I mean, maybe I don't know if it's fair. Like, I don't – it's hard to judge a first-year coach, right? Like, we've had instances where – like, Mike Dunlap last year, like, didn't look that good as a first-year coach, but he also didn't have a good team. And then you looked at Mark Jackson 2 years ago, and they started tanking at one point, and it's like, oh, these guys can't coach. But then the next year, Mark Jackson's a genius, right? Like, yeah. it's such a weird – way, like, it's just so hard to judge these first year coaches. And if he was in Milwaukee right now doing this, nobody would care. But it's Brooklyn.
I actually think there's a kind of relationship between Jackson and Kidd in this regard, because I said last year going into the season, Warriors World had me on for a podcast and they asked me about Mark Jackson, and they kind of I think they were expecting me to bash him.
Yeah.
And instead, what I said was, I said, if this team is good, he can make them great. If this team is bad, he can make them terrible.
I kind of look at him like I look at Flip Saunders coaching. I think he would be really good with a good team.
Yeah.
I don't think he can make I mean, we saw in Washington, and maybe that was such a dysfunctional situation that it would have been hard for any decent coach to really make that situation good. But he looked like a bad coach in Washington because he didn't have good players. And I think there are those certain coaches where – I think even if you gave Kurt Rambis a really good team, I think he'd be fine. I think he'd be a fine coach. He wouldn't be a good coach, but I think he would be fine. He would be good enough. Whereas if you give him, I don't know, the 2008, 2009 Timberwolves, it's a train wreck.
Brooklyn's got no choice but to kind of muscle through it. But can't fire Kidd.
No.
You can't fire Kidd. You can't trade him.
They fired the coach of the month. They fired the reigning coach of the month. I guess they could fire Kidd.
That's true.
What does Prokhorov care? It's another headline for him.
It's another notch on his belt.
Yeah. Another notch on his acid-washed jeans. I still love that he had an acid-washed jeans business.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I love that.
Atlanta-Detroit was a kind of a sneaky good game last night.
I think there was a quote, I'm paraphrasing, but Josh Smith said, I took a lot of shots I normally take and they didn't go in. I'm just,
oh yeah, I'm Josh. Today. Oh, like, Josh. Robbie Callen from Hawks.com sent me that, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna write about that.
Yeah, that's I love Josh Smith for that.
You know, Brandon Jennings actually I thought played really well last night.
Yeah, he didn't shoot all that well. I mean, 21 points on 21 shots. 9 of 21 isn't terrible. Like, you know, it's a decent shooting percentage. But I still think he manages a game pretty well.
By the way, you probably haven't got a chance to read it. I did Baseline Awards on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I put together – this is unrelated. I'll get there. I'll explain how this relates. I put together points per game plus points off of assists per game.
Okay.
And I gave – half points for assists per game, because I was like, well, you're dependent on the other guy making the shot. It's
okay.
Like, it's an imperfect science, but I want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
I also want to give more credit if you're doing the scoring on your own.
Sure.
And the top five were about what you expect, except for Ty Lawson was like number four.
Oh. Yeah, he's having a good year.
He's having like a monster year. Teague was like in the top 10.
Yeah, Teague's been good this year too. Robbie Callen actually had a great thing on Hawks.com about Jeff Teague maybe 2 days ago. So search that too. if you're looking to read stuff. It was really good.
So as we continue our Eastern Conference tour of misery, the Cavaliers got annihilated by Washington.
God, this conference sucks. Bradley Beal is playing the pants off the ball right now.
Yeah, he is.
I love that guy. He's so good.
So Cavs fans are very fond of, basically they hate Bradley Beal because the argument is that they should have traded up to get Beal.
Yeah.
And instead they got Waiters.
Yeah.
And so they're always comparing Waiters to Beal.
Which is dumb. They didn't, you don't even know that they could have traded up, and he was picked before their pick. I don't get that mentality.
Yeah, also Bradley Beal's much better.
Right.
But not an ideal night for that, as Beal scores like 28. And then somebody was like, yeah, but Dellavedova came in and locked him down. I was like, really? After they were up 30?
What? What does that mean? Okay, you troll me by calling certain Gunners throws at the rim.
Yeah.
Can we call Deion Waiters shots punches at the rim?
Yeah.
All right, I'm in with that then. I'll take the trolling for that if we can call him punches at the rim.
He's just an angry young man trying to hurt the rim for no apparent reason. Lashing out. Man, I don't know what to do about Cleveland.
Blow it up.
Cavs fans think Bynum looks like poo.
He does.
And
it's weird. It looks like he is a big man that hasn't played basketball in over a year that has severe knee troubles. Like, he's a guy that I still don't have a problem with the risks they've taken with him because it's a very low impact, high reward risk, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, you, I just think that you can't go into a game expecting anything out of him. Anything you get, God, this is depressing, but it's not quite that, it's not nearly quite that bad, but it's kind of, I think, how Timberwolves fans were supposed to approach the Brandon Roy thing last year. Yep. Expect absolutely nothing. If he gives you anything, that's great.
They're very much in a worst-case scenario thing right now. Like, it seems obvious, but it's like, okay, Kyrie's having a bad year. Varejao's taking a step back. Tristan hasn't taken a step forward. Anthony Bennett has a lot of problems right now. Deion Waiters is still Deion Waiters. Mike Brown hasn't impacted the defense enough. Andrew Bynum can't stay on the floor. Jarrett Jack is doing what he does, but it's not enough to make enough of an impact. And the rest of the bench isn't making an impact. Oh, yeah, and Sergei Karasev sucks.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, no, I don't agree about the defense thing. Cavs are, I think, a top 10 defense right now.
Are they?
Yeah. Except, I mean, the problem is that that's great that they improved their defense, but then their offense went completely away.
Right.
So it's
it's like, hey, you're only allowing 100 or however many points per 100 possessions. Unfortunately, you're scoring 90.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem. And it's just, I don't even know that Kyrie getting on track is going to be enough.
Yeah. And it's, they got some questions right now, and you got to wonder at some point if Chris Grant's going to have to pay the price.
It's got to, right? They're not going to fire Mike Brown right away. There are only so many deals they can try to make while maintaining their flexibility for LeBron next summer.
Yeah. Because if I'm LeBron, this is the team I want to go to.
Right. Hey, I'll fix you guys. I think the Anthony Bennett stuff's overblown. I think he's going to
be fine. I do too.
Yeah. Some people are freaking out, and it's like,
I'm trying to be fair in the fact that I always say if a rookie's playing badly, you need to say he's playing badly.
Yeah.
But I'm also of the opinion, I'm kind of like, look, he's got sleep apnea and asthma.
Right, and he's just, like, when I saw him here, he's just out of shape.
Yeah.
He's really out of shape, and you've got to be an amazing basketball player to be out of shape and play well in this league. And I would like to see what he looks like when he's in shape. And I think a lot of that is the shoulder injury over the summer. I don't think he had time to train properly, and he has to learn how to be a professional. Once that happens, I love his scoring ability. I love his skills. I think he'll be a good rotation player.
He had shoulder surgery, and he developed sleep apnea and asthma.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe that's going to be something that's going to limit his career, but for right now. Anthony Davis, 22-9-4.
He's all right.
God, that kid's just—he's just a monster right now. The biggest thing is that when I watch it, he's making an impact on almost every play.
Yeah.
Like he's rotating from guy to guy. He's skipping over to help and then covering back on the pick and roll. He's interrupting passes with those freakish arms of his.
God, they just look so much better with Ryan Anderson on the floor.
Don't they?
He's such a huge difference maker.
I was like, there's no way that Ryan Anderson can make that much of a difference. Like, Anderson's an amazing player, but he just can't fix everything. Oh, no, that's right.
And this isn't even a white thing. Like, he is the J.J. Redick of power forwards, of stretch forwards. Yeah. Like, he is just a guy who knows how to play. He's a great shooter that stretches the floor, and he's such an underrated defender. Like, I really think his positioning is fantastic. Like, yeah, if you isolate him against Melo, Melo's going to destroy him. But he's just such a good help defender. He's works within the system well, and he plays off Anthony Davis really well already. I mean, I'm thinking about that duo in a couple of years. Like, a lot of people have been like, trade Omer Sheik for Ryan Anderson. That will help both teams. I'm like, I don't think it helps the Pelicans at all.
At all.
No, I mean, Sheik's fine. He's a good player, and I think it would benefit Davis in some ways. But no, keep these two together. These two in 2 years, that's going to be awesome.
So you got the CP3 show last night.
Ooh, he was murderous in the fourth quarter. I mean, they held him in check the first three quarters, even to the point where there was a point in the third quarter where I was like, wow, I'm kind of disappointed with Chris Paul tonight. Like, I didn't get to see him last year. He was injured both games. Well, injured. He took both games off when they were here last year and didn't play. And so I'm like, I need my little CP3 fix. And then last night, like, for the first three quarters, I was like, this kind of sucks. I was hoping he would be really good. And then he just murdered Rubio in the fourth quarter. I mean, just took over. Even there were a couple of shots where Rubio defended it really well. Nothing didn't bother him at all. He knocks down the shots. I mean, he had, I don't know, I think he had like 13 points in the fourth quarter or something like that. Just took over in a really weird game that I thought was a lot of fun. Wolves fans are panicking. Someone told me, he's like, someone tweeted me, this Wolves fan said, I feel like I'm watching last year's team. And I said, this team's healthy. And he responded with, health is not equating wins. And I said, they're 7-6. I don't know how you can look at this team and say it's like last year.
They lost a game they should have won versus Washington, and they lost a game that they should have lost versus the Clippers.
Right.
Like, they get one game every now and again, so the Wizards' loss is out. And then the Clippers are better than them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're two games against the Clippers. They've hung with them. They fought back in both games. They've showed great resiliency. They've also showed that they're not as good as the Clippers, which we knew.
Which we didn't think they would be.
Right, exactly. And that's there's nothing
wrong
with
that. The only thing we've learned is that the Wolves are not a disaster.
Yeah.
And they're also not elite.
Right, exactly. They're in that range of, hey, we can make the playoffs. And be, like
the Blazers,
and be a pain in the ass.
Blazers, I mean, you're early on and you're going off of early success. You're hoping that translates into something sustainable. And like right now, the Blazers can still kind of hold out hope of, hey, maybe we're actually really good.
Yeah. And I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, and it was like comparing the Wolves and the Blazers. The Blazers are 10-2, and the Wolves last night going into the game were 7-5. And if they had been playing with the same focus the Blazers are playing, they win in Cleveland, they win in Denver, and they win in Washington. Those three wins, they'd be 10-2. Like, you know, if they took these games a little more seriously against bad opponents, like I think that, I mean, Denver was getting better as, you know, right before that game, but they still, like, they should win those games, and that's the difference that between them is like they think they're good enough to just win games against bad teams, and they're not. They have to try. And they're learning that. And that's something that's kind of a concern that Adelman had in the preseason, where he said this team thinks it's a lot better than it is. And they've got to learn, like, all right, we got to give a little more effort all the time. And if they do that, they're going to be good and they're going to make the playoffs. And if not, they'll be a disappointment. Blake Griffin's good, by the way. I'm going to keep hammering this point until everyone agrees. He was awesome last night. He played really good defense, which was surprising. He just matches up really well with Kevin Love. Doc Rivers had a great point before the game where he was like, it's amazing. He's like, these guys get compared to each other all the time. It's amazing how similar everything looks on paper with them in terms of like their production with how different their games are.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a fascinating like juxtaposition.
Yeah, 20-10 for Blake. LaMarcus Aldridge, 21-7-3. We had some power forwards in this Western Conference.
Yep, some good ones.
Some awfully good ones. The worst team in basketball lost to San Antonio. Second worst team, pardon me.
You really got to stop grinding that axe. It's just not
they
true.
Lost, they were down by like 40. They were down 40-18 in the first quarter to Houston. After we had this conversation on Tuesday, they were down 40-18 versus Houston.
Wait, you mean a not so good team?
No. 40-18.
The Knicks were down 40-18 to the Wolves. This happens. I don't know why you freak out about it with the Celtics, but you allow every. I swear to God, if they were wearing Bobcats jerseys, you would talk about how scrappy this team is.
No, they're not scrappy.
No,
they just
you would.
Out.
You absolutely would.
No.
The fact that they're wearing Celtic green.
No, that when the Bobcats are horrible, I tend to be like, no, they're horrible. Like at the end of last year, I was like, oh God, this Cats team just fell apart. Ugh. The Celtics team
they hung with the Spurs for three quarters. They got blown out in the third. I mean, they're not the second worst team in basketball. They're just not.
They have no talent.
That's not
talent.
True at all. It's not true at all.
There
this is
not,
ridiculous. I'm steadfast on this that you it's simply because it's Boston.
It's not because it's Boston. I don't care. I really don't.
You do. You love tweaking Celtics fans. You love tweaking Knicks fans.
Okay, that fact is separate from my from my analysis of this team, which is that they are sucky. I mean, Jared Sellinger had a career night, 19-17. So
yeah, good for him.
By the way, I think it was you. We had that argument on Tuesday about like we were talking about like who their best player was.
Right.
I think you said Avery Bradley.
No, I switched it to Jeff Green.
That's right, Jeff Green. Because Avery Bradley was 5 of 22 that night.
Yeah.
And took shots in the NBA.
No, I did say Avery Bradley initially. And I was like, and then I remember Jeff Green was on the team. I was like, oh, it's Jeff Green.
Yeah, it's been sad. But Green doesn't look like he's
not a number one option.
Yeah, Celtics fans are frustrated too.
I mean, he's just not like it's. I hope they're as bad as you say they are because they really do need to just tank.
Oh man, like, because part of it, can you? Let's say they keep Rondo. Let's say that Rondo sits out this year. They tank and they get the number one, and they take Jabari.
Yeah, God, Jabari's. I'm starting to think Jabari's got to be the number one pick right now. I know it's so early, but
yeah,
I love this dude.
Tentatively moved him to number one.
He's my favorite player in college basketball, easily.
It's his game is. Somebody used it yesterday. They referred to it as, I think it was Chad Ford, referred to his game as polished, and that's such a good word for
it. Yeah, it really is.
Or no, it's not polished. It's sophisticated.
He ooh, has a sophisticated, ooh, I like that even better.
Yeah. His game is very sophisticated.
Yeah.
Monte
went off, by the way. Monte went off.
There are bad teams that look bad, and there are bad teams that look pretty good, and there are good teams that look great, and then there are good teams that look bad. The Houston Rockets are a good team that looks bad.
Yeah. Oh, man, that Monte show was fun.
He's
having a year.
37-8.
I think those are his averages this year. I think he's averaging 37-8.
When you throw out the numbers, him and Dwayne Wade, same game.
Same game.
Monte Ellis have it all.
He's oh man.
I like the Dirk show.
Yeah, Dirk was fantastic.
Here's something I don't understand. Houston spent three quarters beating the crap out of them by running complicated sets, working in the offense, getting ball movement, and finding Dwight Howard for easy opportunities.
Sounds like basketball.
And then the fourth quarter comes, and much like in their other games in which they've lost, they just stopped doing it. Just no, not so much.
Yeah.
Nope. Rockets fans are telling me that James Harden's foot is the reason, and that would make a lot of sense. Harden has to either be hurt or drunk because
like after that Lakers loss, it came out that he had like a sore left foot. I don't know what, you know, it's not an injury really, but it's a feeling, I guess. But he had a sore left foot, so maybe that's bothering him still. I don't know.
Yeah, his body language is what bothers me. He just looks
yeah
disengaged and bored and
yeah.
There's so many drives where it's like he's not even trying to score. He's just driving into you, being like, "Well, I know I can get the foul, so I'll go get the foul, and then I'll hit free throws. We can go on, I guess, if you guys want to." Like,
yeah,
I'm waiting for him to show up wearing all black, listening to The Cure.
just blasting a little Morrissey in the locker room.
He's got a chain collar. He's shopping at Hot Topic. Like,
no, he's a big guy. He'd have to shop at Torrid. They don't have a size at Hot Topic.
And Dwight was so good for so long too.
Yeah.
He hit a drop step hook, and I was like, "Hey, that's like the prettiest one I've ever seen him hit."
He can play basketball sometimes. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this conversation like 100 times, and yeah, the debate about his post game is a really interesting one, because I understand why people have the perception that they do of him.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah,
it's aesthetically unpleasing, displeasing. Yeah. It's aesthetic poop.
I give Memphis like a half win for last night.
No Curry.
You know, and Memphis fans were like, "No Tony Allen, hello."
Not quite the same thing.
I was like, well,
one of those guys is one of the most dynamic scorers in the league, and the other one's Tony Allen.
And you could say, like, well, Tony Allen's defense. I'm like, yeah.
There's still a huge difference there.
They held Golden State to 81 points. So
in 53
really
minutes.
Problem.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. There was a lot of conversation yesterday about, you know, this Warriors team, like, look at what they're doing without Curry. Like, they can play grit and grind. I'm like, well, yeah, they can. They just can't win with it.
Right, no. I don't agree with that at all.
Like, the best thing for the Warriors is to play their wide-open, high-volume game and then throw in bits and pieces and quarters where they play that grinded-out
style. When their bench unit's in, I mean, they can't score, but that's a grit-and-grind defensive unit.
Yeah.
That's when they can play, but you don't want even with Iguodala and Bogut, you don't want these starters playing that way. They got to be in the open floor. They got to be like gazelles in a field.
Yep. Let them frolic.
Yeah. Gazelles in the Field is actually the name of my my new album coming out for Christmas.
I'm actually going to write a book about the Warriors this year called Frolic Ball.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet, but it seems like the fourth quarter of Kings Phoenix was really good.
That's a lot of points.
39-44. After a 19-12 quarter. That's amazing.
That was Matt Phoenix. I needed them to cover. I started off 7-2 last night and wound up 7-6.
Mm. Jimmer got hot. Jimmer got some. Well, he got hot, but I mean, Jimmer got some time on the floor. 8 points in 17 minutes. 3-6 shooting. 2-2 from downtown. Unleash the Jimmer.
Jimmer time.
I need me some Jimmer. There's like these. I don't even think they're even close to real trade rumors. But it's like, hey, Derek Williams to the Kings. So I'm like, please bring back Jimmer in the trade. I don't care. Like, okay, I do care. They can't bring back Salmons or Outlaw, but if they can get Jimmer and, I don't know, some forward that isn't John Salmons or Travis Outlaw, like, please let that happen. I just want to watch Jimmer.
What about Thornton, though?
I'd be fine with that.
Thornton is your sixth man?
I'd be a little worried about his attitude about coming off the bench and stuff. I don't know how well he fits in, but I like him. I'd take a flyer on that. I just want Jimmer.
So, I'm now 10 games over 500 for the year.
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah, pretty happy with that. Tonight's games, Thunder Clips.
Should be an excellent game. Even with the back-to-back for the Clippers, should be an excellent game.
Yeah, I've got Oklahoma City covering. The line's 5.5.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
If it was 7.5, I'd take the Clips.
I kind of think this is a close game. I mean, that's close, but I'll go Clippers to cover.
Okay.
Try that.
And I just don't like them on the back-to-back. I think the Thunder are going to be mad about that last loss. The Thunder do tend to take things personally, so.
Really? With Russell Westbrook? That doesn't sound like them.
Nuggets are 1-point dogs versus the Bulls tonight at home. I am not in Denver. I am in the glorious state of Arkansas for an early Thanksgiving thing. Missing that game. I'm sad I don't get to watch the Bulls offense.
Really?
Yeah, I need a nap, so. Bulls fans got so mad at me when I said that they were an unwatchable League Pass team, and then like a weekend they're like, oh no.
You're not hearing that same feedback? Is that not happening?
Not so much now. No.
Interesting. Oh, I don't know what to do with this lineup because I feel like Denver, at home,
J.J. Hickson.
It's true, but if they can get out in the if they can run a little bit, I do like them against this Bulls team. But the Bulls are quite good at transition defense. I'll go Bulls. I'll always take the better team.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm like, Bulls are better.
Yeah.
And Denver hasn't been invulnerable this year at home. They're just not.
No. So very much not.
So, what we got going on? What are you writing about today?
That's a hell of a question. I'll write something.
Hey, look for that on CBS Sports.
I don't know. I've got nothing. What are you writing today?
I was waiting on you. I'll probably write about – I may write about the Nuggets and about their new identity and how it's going to take an awful long time to understand what they are.
Okay.
I was going to leave you Clippers Thunder because
– I'll do something Clippers-y, I guess, because I don't know. I feel weird writing about the Thunder with Royce there. That's his team.
Yeah.
He knows them a lot better than I do, officially.
Officially. You're going to punt it, you're punt to him?
Yeah. I'll just throw a halfback screen to him. Let him do the work. I'll get the passing yards. He gets to do all the work.
Yeah, it's going to be a 24-second violation. Heads up. Anything else going on? Kemberger's got a thing today on the New York Knicks involving John Calipari. There's a little tease.
Look at that. That's a yeah. Well, I say get John to leave this season, this college season, and go and just take over the Knicks. That's what I hope happens.
The Sixers waived Kwame Brown and Darius Morris.
Sure did.
Yeah, I think they'll do it.
All right.
All right, man.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Zach.